right. So beginning in Acts chapter 16, perhaps you're already there, but if not, turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. So Acts 16, verse 11. So the group of people who are setting sail from Troas would be Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. And so we have verse 11 here, and it is written. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed that there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for examples like this that we can look to as we not only see your divine providence, Lord, blessing Lydia as she was seeking you, worshiping you, just not knowing you fully, how it is that you dispatched a group of believers to go and meet with her and with others to explain how it was that prophecy had been fulfilled, the Messiah had come, and salvation could be known by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, she was a woman of action. She was a woman who was humble and hospitable. And I pray, Lord, that we would glean much from her life to your glory. And I know a blessing not only to the person, but all who come in contact with this type of person. So Lord, we commit this evening into your hands, Father. We ask your blessing, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in five verses, we learn quite a bit. Great things about a person and her faith. Lydia, what Lydia and her family came to possess is actually more valuable than all the money on earth she could have ever accumulated over the years. And yet what she gained was given freely by God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this was exactly what Paul came to explain to her. Lydia was a prominent woman. She was well known. She, as we read, was one who would come and worship God, but had yet to surrender her life to Jesus Christ when Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Luke arrived. It was at this point that she gained understanding by being made to hear, and in that she responded as she understood exactly what was being explained to her, and she responded by believing. And tonight we catch a glimpse of who she was and what she came to know, what she came to believe, and more importantly, through that, what she came to possess. The location is Philippi. It's a thriving city of trade and commerce located in Macedonia. Lydia was from Thyatira, which was in Asia Minor, which was actually located across the Asian Sea, about 156 miles from Thyatira to Samothrace, across the Asian Sea, northwest. Thyatira is now a city that is known to be located in modern-day Turkey. Philippi is located in what we would today consider Greece. Philippi, as we know, was a Roman colony. So it was ruled by Rome, and it was, again, a city of commerce and great trade. So it was a thriving city. Philippi was your typical worldly city with everything in it, including fortune tellers. There was divination that was practiced, spiritualists, as well as those who were in sales and government and travel. So everything was there. Now, as we went over I believe it was, if not last Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, we understood and we came to know what a fortune teller and what a person who was practicing divination was. A fortune teller is, as we would know today, a person who is into astrology, the zodiac, horoscopes, and signs. Divination is basically witchcraft, any practice in the occult. So anything that makes contact with the demonic world, the demonic realm, in any way, shape, or form, is exactly what we're talking about. And this was all a part of the city. It was all acceptable. It was all normal. Kind of reminds me of the day in which we live today. Pretty much anything goes. I go down Arlington and I see this place to where you can have your palm read on the right-hand side. You probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And there are those that you may be familiar with as you go by Pray that they close down. But a little bit more background leading into the introduction of Lydia, I think, is fitting for us this evening. I think it sets the tone for who she is, and I think it just brings that to the surface that much more. So Paul, Luke, Silas, Timothy were together in Asia Minor and were desiring to go north. They wanted to remain in Asia, but they wanted to leave, not necessarily go to Macedonia, but the Holy Spirit, as we know, in that chapter forbade them. And Paul had a vision in which he saw this man of Macedonia asking that he would go to Macedonia to help them. And Paul, it's awesome because Paul was a man who was given completely committed and devoted to that which the Lord directed him to do and say. And so he gave himself to that. And for Paul, if the Holy Spirit forbade him to go in a certain direction, he was waiting for further instructions to go in another direction. And he was indeed given further instructions. Paul, at the time that he received this vision, immediately him and those group of men went across the Asian Sea, like I said, 156 miles. They did it in 2 days, which, by the way, later on when they came back, it took them 5 days. So you could say, very literally, that they had the wind to their backs. As God sent them on their way across the Asian Sea, they made it there in short order, just like that. And so they went to Samothrace, and then from there to Neapolis, and then to Philippi. They spent some days there, is what we read. Paul would normally enter anytime he went into a new city, a new town. He would go directly into the Jewish synagogue, and he would teach. He would explain the gospel, and so he would share the gospel, the word of God, prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ, to the Jews first. But we don't have that before us this evening with this story of Lydia. Perhaps it was because there weren't enough Jewish men in Philippi to make a quorum, which would require at least 10 Jews to form a quorum and have synagogue. But we don't have that. It was on a Sabbath day that he went outside the city gates to the riverside and found a place of prayer, just as they expected. They were expecting to find a place of prayer, and that's exactly what they found, and engaged in conversation with the women who had gathered together for prayer. It's like what we have here on Saturdays when we have the women coming together and spending some time in fellowship and in prayer. It was that setting in which Paul and his brothers came into. And in that group of women was this woman named Lydia, who, as we know, was a seller of purple, which means that she sold high-quality garments, garments that were known to come from Thyatira, from where she was from. They were colored with dyes that were unique to Thyatira. This was, of course, brought to the marketplace and sold, and she was wealthy, successful. She was one that was well-known in a very prosperous city. So she wasn't a small fish in a big pond. She was a big fish in a big pond. Everyone knew her. She was very prosperous, successful, and she was prominent there. So she was well-known. This woman also had a spacious home with servants, and it was actually big enough, as we know, because she housed these brothers, was very hospitable to them, but it was big enough to bring them in and have them stay. We're not told whether Lydia was a Jew or not, but we do know that she was a worshiper of God. She was either a Jewish proselyte or she may have been a Jew indeed, but we don't have that from Scripture. What we do have is her character, her personality, her actions, how she responded to the Lord, the gospel, an explanation of prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that in spite of her obligations, as busy as she was, being a successful businesswoman, Lydia found the time to worship the Lord. She made time to go to prayer. And this communicates to us that her faith was important enough to carve out time out of her busy life to worship God and gather in fellowship. It should speak to all of us. We should never be so busy that we neglect that which is most important. And that's coming together for fellowship. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as is the manner of some, but doing so even more so as you see the day of the Lord approaching is what Hebrews tells us. And so that's something that she didn't neglect. Regardless of how busy she found herself, she made time and went and worshiped the Lord. Too many people today will pray for a better career, job, promotions, but oftentimes get so busy that they forget about prayer, study, fellowship, the worship of the God who provided the ability and means by which they received such blessings of provision, promotion, and even prominence. So Lydia was humble. It was at the time that Paul was speaking of Jesus Christ that Lydia's heart was open. So God opened up her heart to understand exactly what Paul was explaining. Not only to pay attention, but also to come to that place of understanding. And she was able to respond. I think so many times, perhaps people have heard the gospel that it's like just another explanation of the gospel. I've heard this before. And man, it breaks my heart to know that people hear the gospel over and over and over again and fail to respond to it. They come on Mother's Day. Unfortunately, they don't come on Father's Day because fathers like to barbecue, right? We need to get on the ball. But they come and they hear and they listen. And I know that they come and so many people just leave, not responding. We always pray that the Lord would open up their heart, that He would give them understanding and that they would respond in the affirmative. So the Lord did this very work in her heart. He opened her heart to understand exactly what the Apostle Paul was explaining. And she came to believe in Jesus Christ. I can just imagine how it was that the Apostle Paul was explaining to her what he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, which says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And he appeared and he appeared and he appeared, you know. And so I can just see how he was just explaining these things to her and the group of ladies that were there. And she gained understanding. He was laying out the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament and explained how they were fulfilled in Him. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved." And as Peter was asked immediately after preaching the gospel at Pentecost, he was asked this question, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And he replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I can just picture Paul just laying it all out, right? We have these words before us. We have them in Scripture. And I'm sure he was explaining it very well. And Lydia, upon hearing and believing, confessed and made a public proclamation by being baptized. More than likely, she did this the very same day. No delay. No, let's put it on the calendar. Let's reserve a spot somewhere, you know, and go get baptized. No, it was that very same day that her and her household was baptized. She was fearless. That's what I love about Lydia. She was just absolutely fearless. She didn't waste any time in completely committing herself to Jesus Christ. She identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, with a public declaration in her baptism, and not only herself, but also her whole household. Who that included? It may have been her family and those who served within her home. Her influence and faith impacted those around her just as our faith impacts those around us. How are you impacting those that really have been entrusted to you? Because really, in reality, the Lord has entrusted those people to you. What kind of impact are you making on them? The same way she was decisive in business, she was decisive when she heard the truth. She was given understanding, and she completely devoted herself to Jesus. There was nothing half-hearted about her surrender. I'm going to think about this. No, it's like, we don't know, but we do know she was a successful businesswoman. You know, to be successful, to be in that place, meant that you had to have good judgment, and when you heard something good, you went after it, right? She heard the truth. And immediately she responded and fully committed herself to Jesus Christ. Nothing half-hearted about her surrender. Please note that this was among a people who were hostile toward Christianity, as we see in later verses, verses 16 through 24, how a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and was a fortune teller made a lot of money for her owners. And so she was going after the apostles. She was going after Paul and Timothy, Silas, and Luke. And so she annoyed Paul so much. And that's what it says. She annoyed Paul so much that he turned around and he said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. So she no longer had that demonic power, the ability to do what she had been doing. And immediately the owners and rulers had Paul and Silas arrested and thrown in prison because this girl no longer had those demonic powers to do what she was doing and make money for her owners. She was done. She was out of business. That was it. These people were fine with religion as long as it didn't interfere with the market and finances and just their overall business. They were fine. Hey, do your own thing, but just don't interfere with what's going on here at all. This was the environment in which Lydia came to faith in. No fear of how her devotion and commitment to Jesus Christ may impact her status, her reputation, her sales, her position, and wealth. No thought. She didn't give it any thought. Also, it was this church in Philippi that was born at this time. In fact, it's known that she was the first convert in Europe. First one. And this is the church that was generous toward the Apostle Paul. In fact, he commended this church that even as he went to Thessalonica and other parts, that they would always take care of him. They would always send to him. And so he commended them. This was the church. This was it. And she was the first convert. Who knows if that slave girl was another one. All of a sudden, she's in fellowship. We also have the Philippian jailer, who upon the earthquake happening and the door swinging open, him thinking that they all escaped, he was about to kill himself. And Paul said, "No, we're here. Don't kill yourself," right? He came to salvation, him and his family. Yeah. By the way, it's a great contrast. You have Lydia's life and you have the Philippian jailer. One was seeking God, one was not. One was simply spoken to in regards to the gospel. The other one had quite a spectacular situation happen in order for him to realize that God is real. You know, but both had an impact on their families. Both of them. And both came to be worshipers of God. I wonder if he was part of that church too. I'm sure he was, right? Because he came to salvation. And so Lydia was an example of God's providence. So I'm just going to draw some things out from this in closing. Lydia was an example of God's providence. I mean, just think about this. God forbade Paul to go in any other direction. He gave him a vision of this man, calling him to Macedonia. He went to Macedonia, and just at the right time, on Sabbath, he went to the riverside, and just so happens that he met with this group of women, and Lydia was there, and she listened, and she came to faith. What providence. How amazing is our God that Lydia was the one who was seeking the Lord, and God sent to her Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. And as she heard Paul explain the gospel, she responded. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Lydia was successful in her business and yet knew that God was to be worshipped and not neglected or ignored or rejected. Lydia was a woman whom God used to lead others to Christ, including her family and household. Lydia immediately, there was this connection. I love it because we see this kinship, you know, to where immediately she tested him out. She insisted. She wouldn't take no for an answer. Come stay at my home. If really, truly you regard me as a genuine believer, then please come and stay with me. And she didn't take no for an answer. It's amazing how you can go anywhere in the world and you meet up with a brother or sister in Christ, and immediately it's like your hearts are knit because you have this common thread, Jesus Christ. By the way, they later came back, Paul and Silas came back to Lydia's home so they could meet up with the brethren. So they were all gathered there, and then they made their way to Thessalonica. Lydia was a decisive, humble, faithful, loyal, and hospitable woman whose family, friends, and many others were impacted for all eternity because she sought the Lord, and the Lord sent a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lydia, well, I pray there are many Lydias in the church today that are the same way. They regard the worship of God, are completely devoted, committed, hospitable, humble, loving, compassionate, and willing to give of themselves and generous and are generous toward the work of the Lord. That we need more Lydias that would continue to impact their families and those around them. Again, as I told you earlier, as God entrusts those people to be influenced by you, that you would take that seriously. And truly, as you're devoted and committed to the Lord, would impact them to the glory of God now and for all eternity. And so Lydia, I hope she is an encouragement to you as she is to myself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example once more of a woman who responded to hearing the truth. Did not delay, did not waver. Lord, she knew exactly what she heard. She responded. And Lord, that led to the salvation of her household. And Lord, it was the beginning of the church there in Philippi. Lord, there are many things, I'm sure, that are not told in Scripture of what this woman's influence was. And Lord, because it's not to her glory, it was a story of providence. It was a story of your divine direction given to a man who was completely submitted and surrendered to doing your will. It's a story of glorifying you, of how it is that you open the hearts of men and women to understand the gospel. Lord, it's a story of your grace and how it is that when we genuinely draw near to you, that you will by no means forsake us. You will not turn your back on us, but you will draw near to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We thank you, Lord, that we can cry out to you, Abba, Father, for we are your children, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, just like Lydia. Pour your Spirit out upon my sisters here. Bless them, Father. Anoint them. Give them your unction, Lord. May they have the boldness and confidence that Lydia also had. All to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.